You Have More Time Than You Think. That is the subtitle of a book of our guest today. I hear so many people talk about how they don't have enough time, or there aren't enough hours in the day for them to get everything done that they need to do if they're going to be successful. Pardon me for saying, but that's a load of hooey, and you know it. There's plenty of time to get things done. The right things, that is. You just have to be smart about how you use it. That is why I asked Laura Vanderkam here today. Laura is the author of the book, 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think, and an ebook series I like, which is called What the Most Successful People Do. She's appeared on numerous television programs, writes for various online blogs and magazines, but more importantly, she's an expert at asking questions that challenge the status quo and help people live more fulfilling and meaningful lives. Laura, welcome to Success. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Laura, for those who say, I wish I were more productive, let's start our discussion by having you explain, what is holding most people back, even though they say more productivity is something they want or need? What's holding them back?
I think what often happens is we don't ask what we want to be doing with our time. We assume that we are crazy busy. Everything you hear about in our modern lives keeps giving that impression. And so we assume that we have no time. And so we don't ask what we really want to be doing with our time. I hear from people constantly, well, I need to be more efficient about this or that that I don't want to be doing so I can make time for the more important things that I'm not getting to. And life doesn't really work like that. We can't save time and then suddenly have the lives we want. We build the lives we want, and then time starts saving itself. So I think it's more important to keep our eyes on the goal, what we want to spend more time doing. And when we think about that, a lot of the other stuff naturally takes place.
So I think getting started, right, breaking inertia seems to be the hardest step for most folks. So give us the all-important first step to becoming more productive and therefore more successful.
When people tell me that they want to spend their time better, the first thing I tell them to do is to figure out how they're spending their time now. And a good way to do that is to keep a time log. If any of your listeners have ever tried to lose weight, you know that a nutritionist will tell you to keep a food journal because it keeps you accountable for what's going into your mouth. I've certainly tried to do this myself when I've packed on a few extra pounds and need to get rid of them. So it's the same thing with a time log. You write down what you're doing as often as you remember in as much detail as you think will be helpful. A lot of your listeners have probably used various time tracking apps. There's Toggle. There's a few others. But the important thing is just to keep track of how you are spending your time. And the reason to do this is that, honestly, the truth sets us free. If you know how many hours you are working, then you can start to make better choices about how you spend that time. And if you know when your leisure time occurs, you can start making choices about what you want to do with those leisure hours instead of assuming that they don't exist. So keep track of your time, and you will find yourself being more productive just because you will have a clear sense of where the time is really going.
Well, Laura, anybody who knows me knows that you're talking my language when you're talking about tracking and putting awareness on the behaviors that you want to change and making better choices. So I appreciate you amplifying those points. Share another wow productivity habit with us. Something simple that if you did regularly would transform our daily lives. What else would you suggest on this path of increasing our productivity?
A lot of success readers probably already schedule a weekly check-in with their lives, that they think about where they've been, where they're going, and more importantly, planning the next week. So thinking about, what do I want to spend the next week doing? An interesting thing that I've started doing recently is moving that weekly check-in. I used to do it on Sunday nights, and now I do it on Friday afternoons. And if any of your listeners are doing this on Sunday, I would advise thinking about moving your weekly planning session to Friday, because then you can start thinking about the whole week, including the weekend. So you can start thinking about what professional priorities do you want to schedule during the week, but also what personal priorities do you want to schedule over the weekend. And if there's anything that needs to happen for those to take place, you can start knocking those things out on Friday afternoon before the end of business hours. So that gives you a little chance to get a jump start on the week.
You know, I can vouch for this. I've made that adjustment myself. I used to do it on Sunday evening, and I moved it to Friday. And it's true. You can knock out a few things right at the last minute. You can now be thoughtful about how you spend your rest and recovery time on the weekend as well. And you don't have that sort of lingering thing in the back of your mind going, oh, I've got a Sunday. I've got to prepare for the week ahead. You already know that it's done. And so you're actually more relieved as you walk through your weekend. And then I could just review it for literally 2 to 3 minutes on Sunday evening, just to kind of give some view of the horizon in front of me. And then that's it. So I also agree that Friday afternoon seems to be even more powerful than Sunday evening. The first step is doing it, right? And then maybe consider
exactly
Friday afternoon. All right. Let's talk about this thing you write about called the time paradox, and why it often feels like we have no time and that the person next to us seems to have plenty of it. Whereas in reality, we all know that we have the same number of hours in the day. Explain the time paradox.
Time is absolutely democratic. As you pointed out, we all have the exact same number of hours in a day. We have 24 hours in a day. We have 168 hours in a week. All the money in the world cannot buy you a second more. And I think that is a very sobering thought. Because when you look at people who accomplish great things, you can't say, oh, they had more time than I do. Because they don't. They don't. So it really is a matter of what we do with our hours. And I think that's actually the mindset that we have to realize why some people get so much done and the rest of us sometimes wonder why we can't. Time is a choice. Everything we put in our time is the result of a choice we've made now or in the past. And so if we're not happy with how we're spending our time, we can choose to spend time differently. We can look at the next 168 hours of our lives and say, there is nothing in there right now. Eventually, we will be on the other side of the next 168 hours. Eventually, that time will be filled with something. But what it is filled with is largely up to us. And so when we have that mindset, we can start thinking during that Friday review, what would I like to put there? What is important to me in my life? What do I hope to say I will have done by the end of this year, personally and professionally? And if I have these big goals, how can I break those down into steps and start getting some of those goals on my calendar? And I've started using an example recently of just how much time we may have that we're not thinking about. I had a woman keep a time log for me recently. She's a very busy woman. And during the course of this week, her water heater exploded in her basement. And so she got this horrible call when she was at a work event to come home because there's water all over her basement. And on her time log, she winds up spending 10 hours dealing with this problem between the immediate cleanup, getting plumbers to come in to deal with it, getting a professional cleaning crew to come in and start taking up the carpet, which is ruined, and all these other things. And I'm sure that if I asked her at the start of that week, can you find 10 hours to train for a marathon? Can you find 10 hours to work a side job? Can you find 10 hours to volunteer at your kid's school or 10 hours to go after a new client? She probably would have laughed at me, right? We don't think of ourselves as having all this available time, but when we have to get to something, we do it. And so what we really need to do in order to change how we're spending our time and spend more time on the things that we want to be spending our time on is to treat our priorities as the equivalent of this exploding water heater, right? That our priorities are making a mess all over our basement and we have to get to it right now. And I think when we start thinking of it that way, we'll find ourselves making some different choices about how we spend our time.
Well, along the lines of the visual that you're creating here with the exploding water heater, you talk about time zappers, which makes me think of those bug zappers and one bug being zapped and fried, you know, one right after the other, which is what it is like 1 minute being zapped and fried, run right after the other, or hours upon hours that are just being zapped from our lives. So tell us what two or three of the biggest time zappers there are out there so that we can avoid them or at least be aware so that they are not an enemy to our productivity.
I think there are three zappers that create bigger, more chronic problems in our lives. And the first one is a failure to plan. I'm a planner. I know a lot of our listeners are planners as well. That's why we're into things like professional development and self-development. But even if we're planning how we spend our work lives, we often don't plan how we want to spend our personal time. So a failure to plan means that other things will happen during that time, not necessarily things that we would have chosen. Failing to choose is still a choice. So I certainly don't mean to plan every minute, but at least thinking through, I have a weekend here. What would I like to do with that weekend? What would be meaningful for myself and the people I care about? And planning those things in. The second productivity zapper is a failure to take breaks. We all have this vision of ourselves that we can just go, go, go. We're going to get so much done. Breaks are for the week. We're going to eat our lunch at our desk. We are going to power through and get it done. And sometimes you have to do that. But I find a funny thing when I look at people's schedules, when they keep track of their time for me and share these time logs with me, that when people don't take lunch, for instance, somewhere around 3 p.m., let's say, there's a lot of random email checking. There's a lot of web surfing going on. And the person almost can't help themselves. We need breaks. And if you don't take a conscious one, you will take unconscious ones. And that's when you start doing that mindless web surfing, the constant sitting in your inbox, answering emails in the order they come in, which probably has nothing to do with order of importance. So since you do need breaks, since you are a human being that needs breaks in order to function, consciously schedule those in. Failure to take breaks is the second huge productivity zapper. And finally, the third sounds somewhat like the breaks, but it's a little different. It's a failure to build in space. So there was a wonderful book that came out a few months ago that talked about slack as a concept, that every schedule needs some slack. And our tendency is to book ourselves solid. We have meetings back to back. You see 15 free minutes. You say, oh, I could put a phone call in there. And that's true. But the problem is, if you don't build space into your schedule, you will be constantly behind because everything takes longer than you think it will. Everything does. You may be on the phone with a long-term client and they don't want to spend 30 minutes on the phone with you. They want to spend 45 minutes on the phone with you. And you want to nurture that relationship. If you don't have space in your schedule, then you can't recover from that. Space in your schedule also allows you to seize new opportunities as they come in. I know I personally sometimes wind up doing interviews with media outlets solely because I have time left in my afternoon that I haven't scheduled the whole day. And so if somebody contacts me in the early part of the afternoon and says, hey, could you do a quick phone call in to our drive time radio show in the afternoon? I can actually say yes. And I enjoy doing that. I enjoy sharing my message with people. And it's because I have space in my schedule that I can do that. So those are the three biggest time zappers: failure to plan, failure to take breaks, and failure to build in space.
Well, I agree, Laura. We are challenged more by forcing ourselves to rest and recover more than we are challenged by forcing ourselves to work longer and harder. So we know that Peter Drucker, Albert Einstein, always said that great answers or solutions come from asking great questions. So tell us the number one or number two questions that we need to ask ourselves when it comes to our productivity that will open up our minds and maybe even create a wow moment of clarity.
I often have people create lists of everything they want to spend more time doing. We spend a lot of time asking ourselves what we don't want to be doing. And that's just human nature. But we don't spend as much time asking what we want to be doing with our time. So I tell people to make a list. Keep going to 100 if you can. More is better. I find that the first third comes pretty easy. We think about the travel we want to do. We think about our major professional goals. The second third, a little bit harder. You're starting to think about things like, oh, I'd like to go to that state park that's an hour away. Well, that gives you a good idea for this weekend. And by the bottom third of that list, you are really scraping the bottom of the barrel. But you are learning a lot about things that could possibly be interesting or enjoyable, things you might want to start thinking about if you create more space in your schedule. So asking what you want to be spending more time doing in your life is a very important question.
So I want to keep going down this path here because I believe that we don't have to tell the people listening here, you need to work harder or longer. It's exactly the opposite, is that we need to really force ourselves, create boundaries on making sure that we're getting enough recovery and revitalization so we can operate at our full potential when we are in the mode of working. I find that people take a brute force approach. They're not happy with their progress, so they just work late into the night and they work into the weekend. So, and I think that's a recipe for disaster and adrenal failure and ulcers and the rest of it, right? So tell us the how part of planning our weekends. So, because if it doesn't, I find that if you don't plan something fun and interesting for the weekend, you'll always find working, oddly enough, fun and interesting more than just being bored. So you'll end up working instead. So help us put together an easy plan that will optimize our time recouping, particularly on the weekends, let's say.
The first thing you need to realize about the weekend is that there is quite a bit of time in a weekend. There are 60 hours between 6 p.m. Friday and 6 a.m. Monday. And even if you are sleeping for 24 of those hours, that still leaves 36 hours that you have to fill with something. And they will be filled with something. I think the way you seize your weekend hours and have them help you recreate, right? That's the root of recreation, is recreate, is to make a short list of things beyond life maintenance that you would like to do that weekend. And if you have other people in your family who might have opinions about this, you can all talk about it together. But you don't want to also just let other people's priorities for the weekend completely take over your own. Many parents wind up spending their entire weekends shuttling kids to different things and then never get a chance to decompress on their own. So make a list, 3 to 5 things that you'd really like to do. You could put a few in each category of, there are a couple categories of life activities that we tend to find most enjoyable. Studies have found that people are happiest, among other things, when they are socializing, when they are exercising, when they are engaged in spiritual activities. So it might be a good idea to choose one from all three. You could say, I'm going to go on a long bike ride on a beautiful path by my house. I am going to have a couple friends over for a potluck dinner on Saturday night, and I'm going to go to worship services. So those are three things. If you do those three things, it will be a pretty good weekend, right? So 3 to 5 priorities that you want to do over the weekend will help you get the most out of that time.
Put some names to this. Who are 2 or 3 people we would all know and the 2 or 3 things that they do on the weekend? So, you know, give us the top 3 things that most successful people do on their days off. Give us some examples of some things you're like, oh, so-and-so does this. And that'll also give us some ideas and kind of bring the ideas you're talking about here to light, make them a little bit more tangible.
One of the people I've interviewed who I found fascinating about his weekends is Mike Huckabee, who's the former Arkansas governor. He ran for president a few years ago, and now he's a Fox News personality. And because of his schedule, which is pretty prolific on the book writing front and the speaking front, and then he also has his Fox things he needs to do on the weekend, actually, on Saturday. Sunday winds up being his weekend. But because Sunday is his weekend, he is very careful about how he spends Sunday in order to truly relax, recreate, so he can hit the treadmill again on Monday morning. And so what we were talking about earlier with things from the three categories, he'll spend some time at church with his wife. He will often get together with friends for a cookout. And he'll spend some time walking on the beach. He lives near the beach now. So those three things help him decompress and give him some mic time, as he called it, so that he can hit Monday ready to go. There's an interesting idea I'd like to think of as cross training, which if you're an athlete, if you have a particular sport you do, if you're a runner, for instance, a lot of the training plans tell you to also swim or bike or do something else because it increases the volume of aerobic capacity that you have, but it doesn't stress the exact same muscles and joints. And so it helps you become a better runner by doing other things. And there's a metaphor for this with how we spend our weekend. I found that many successful people did some aspect of cross training for their work. So something that was related but different, that made them better at their job, but also gave them a break. An interesting example of this was Dominique Sherman, who's the CEO of Papyrus, which is the stationery company. And one of the things she does is container gardening. And she's moving around the pots of her plants and different decorative objects in her garden, combining texture and color and shape in different ways. And if you think about it, that's kind of what she has her card designers and her store designers do during the week, that aesthetic impulse. Only it's applied to something completely different. And so it's relaxing, and yet it's also causing her brain to think in those ways.
All right. So Laura, one last question for you today. To make sure that we've made the most of our time together, you know, share a story with us about an instance or an occurrence that taught you one of the biggest lessons you've ever learned about productivity.
We need to be sure that we are living by our values and not other people's values and priorities. And there may be some universal values. We should generally be nice to people. We should treat others as we want to be treated. But on specific things, we often tell ourselves stories that a good worker does this. A good worker does this. A good parent does this. A good friend does this. A good son does this. A good daughter does this. And maybe. But there are probably people that you admire, that you think are amazing people, who live differently, who do not have that exact same story they are telling themselves. And so I was having a conversation with a woman who's an entrepreneur the other day, and she talked about driving her child to preschool, which can be a great choice to do. But the issue is she had already hired a nanny who could drive this child to preschool. She was feeling like she wasn't getting enough time necessarily to work because she had this big chunk out of her day while she was driving her child to preschool. And so she'd cut it down to maybe 3 times a week, let's say. But she still was going. And I said, well, you know, is your value driving to preschool? Or is your value spending one-on-one time with your child? Because if that's your value, there may be other times that you could do that much better, when you're not angry about missing this work time, when you're not frustrated because it's taking longer than you intended to get out the door and get to preschool. Maybe there's other times you can do that. Maybe it's time in the afternoon, which if you got that block of work back, you'd be able to focus better on your daughter later in the day. Maybe it's before you start work that you could have a relaxed breakfast together because you know you're going to get all that work time in you need. Is the value the driving, or is the value the child? And so I think that's an important question to ask. You can do all kinds of things differently than other people and still live your own values. So make sure that you are living your own values and living your own priorities rather than somebody else's.
Fantastic. Well, Laura Vanderkam, thank you for sharing your time with us. I know that it has been productive for you and for those listening, knowing it has helped all of us increase our potential for success. Thank you for being with us, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
Success Audio Series, copyright Success Media, all rights reserved.